AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is Rhapsody, and check me out on the Bootleg Kev podcast.
Bootleg Kev Show, man. Special guest in here. One of the greatest MCs on the planet, Rhapsody.
What's up, brother, man?
Good to see you.
I'm happy to be back.
May 17th, we're finally getting your album.
Yeah, 4.5 years. It's time.
Has it been 4.5 years?
Yeah, 2019 was my last album.
And then the Layla's Wisdom was what, 2017?
Yep.
That was the Grammy album.
Yeah.
Who were you nominated against that year? Because I remember thinking specifically like...
Jay-Z, 444, mm-hmm. Kendrick, Damn, Tyler, the Creator, Flower Boy.
That was a good year.
There's one more I'm forgetting.
That was a good year.
Yeah.
Who ended up winning, Damn?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Kendrick took that. I am never mad.
You're in a very particular stance with everything going on in the world of hip-hop.
It's exciting right now, huh?
It is. And I, you know, obviously there's been some, like, extra unnecessary noise.
And I was just having that conversation. It's a lot of noise right now and inserting into a moment that's, like...
It's special.
You're making it corny now. Like,
right. I feel like it's gotten really corny this past week.
Let the main event be the main event.
I agree.
Please.
I agree. But it's interesting because I always, like, even like rewinding a few weeks, mm-hmm. you've worked with Cole and you obviously have worked with Kendrick a bunch. You're, mm-hmm. you know, like, I remember talking to Punch about this at the iHeart Awards. I saw him backstage and I was like, this was before My Delete Later came out.
Okay.
And I was like, Dreamville Fest was coming that weekend. And I was like, this feels really weird because, like, everyone's friends with each other. Like, TD and Dreamville are like this, like, all the fans are kind of like interwoven. Wow. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Schoolboy Q and SZA's on Dreamville Fest. Like, Kendrick and Cole are friends, but it felt great. I'm just curious, like, how did you feel when you first heard everything, being like somebody who's worked with both people and, like, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of people discovered you from working with Kendrick. You're obviously on the Pimp a Butterfly. Like, what was your thoughts?
I was excited. I mean, I thought this is hip hop. It was built on competition.
Yes.
So let's compete. It's just words. Mm-hmm. It's just words. You know, if it comes anything out of that. But I think this is really in the spirit of hip hop. And it's like, okay, I respect. I equated to basketball, right? I was having a conversation with my nephew, right? He was texting me about it. I said, look, man, when you play your homie one-on-one on the court, are you trying to look out for him because you're your homie? No, you're trying to beat that ass. And afterwards, y'all dap it up and be like, good game. You either run it back or take your L and go home.
Yeah.
So that's just how I looked at it. I was like, oh, hip-hop is exciting again.
It's a sport.
Yeah, we need it for the culture. So, you know, I just looked at it as like, may the best man win.
What were your thoughts when you saw Cole retract his you know, statements and apologize? I just wonder, because I actually kind of like, there's no way he actually thought, like, To Pimp a Butterfly wasn't amazing. Like, I was like, he don't even believe what he's saying. Like, this is one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time. Like, but when he apologized, I was like, you know what? Like, I understood where he was coming from because he's been moving a certain way for so long. You know, but what were your thoughts?
I try not to speak on these things. I hold my thoughts to myself. I mean, but, hey, he's a man. He made his decision. But I'm just speaking from me. If I'm in that position, I love this, the spirit of what this is and the sport of it. And if it's me, I'm going.
Yeah.
Homie or not, like, let's go. Yeah. Like, you know, he approached it how he approached it.
Well, did you, was it funny to you to, like, hear people, like, all of a sudden, like, you're on to Pimp a Butterfly, which is, like, in my opinion,
it's one of the greatest albums ever created.
I actually think it's Kendrick's best album, personally.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorites of all time. Even taking me off of it, I feel.
And it aged in a way that not a lot of albums have aged.
No, right.
Like, a lot of people, like, during, like, the BLM protests and stuff, like, started to revisit that and were like, damn, Kendrick was, like, kind of talking about a lot of the shit that's happening right now, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was just funny to see, like, the album trending and then Punch tweeted, I thought To Pimp a Butterfly was actually a pretty good album.
Yeah, that's... I thought about that when Cole made his apology. And when he did it, I was like, I would never approach it going at his discography. But at the Art of War, it's just war is war. So, you know. But it's funny to see the landscape of Sheep to me. Right. Yes. And it's like, okay, because we're in this battle and he says it's not good, now everybody's like,
now
yeah, we don't think
train.
It's that good. Get the fuck out of here. Like, if granted, there's some people that they genuinely don't like
it's
it,
not
and
for
that's
them.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's not everybody, but like it's one of the greatest albums of all time. Like,
I think if you're gonna say anything, like, to me, Kendrick's got a flawless discography. It'd be like dissing Outkast's discography.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like
he's got one of the best runs.
That's something you gotta leave him alone on that.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, that's why I'm really interested, because I'm like, Drake, I'm not sure what else you got besides him being short and maybe he had an unfavorable deal with TD back in the day. Because outside of that, I mean, you know, it's gotten corny though. The AI shit was super corny. I thought that shit was lame as fuck. And then Kanye doing his interview, and I'm just like you said, we're here for the main event. Like, all the side characters, I'm waiting for this bomb to drop that Kendrick's cooking, and I'm tired of people acting like we didn't have to wait 29 days for Drake to reply.
Yeah, I mean, this is the social media, everybody thinks that you have to move at their pace. Like, if we talking about the spirit of hip-hop, I was thinking back when Nas and Jay were in battle, and Jay put out Takeover September 11th
on 2001.
Nas responded on December 4th, his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Three months later.
So, mm-hmm. You know, and we know Kendrick. He's intentional about everything. So, you know, I love that he's always continuing to do him and moving at the pace he has. Like, let the noise die down, if anything, please.
Yeah, we waited 29 days for Drake to reply. Just again, 29 days. But with that being said, it is... Yeah. The most excited.
Yeah.
I'm just excited because I'm like, yo, one day, like, I'm going to wake up and Kendrick's going to, because I know he's about to come crazy.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
Super, and then Quavo and Chris Brown are going at each other. That shit's getting a little ugly, but it's just a lot. I feel like it's like people are seeing how good it is for business to beef, kind of, and they're all trying to get their little, like.
Cat Williams set it off, didn't he?
He set it off. He kicked the year off with the craziest interview ever, and people just been moving like that.
Yeah, I was like, yo, it's getting weird out here.
It's pretty crazy. Talk to me about why it's taken you 4.5 years to drop a new body of work.
Yeah, I had a lot to say,
okay.
And it took me about 4 years to get it all out. I was told you don't stop recording until you don't have anything else to say. So I allow myself the grace and the time to grow in that period, to heal in that period, to learn, and, you know, to really figure out all of what I wanted to say and then what I wanted to share with the world.
Yeah.
That was it.
I think, too, like, sometimes people will put out music just because they feel like they have to, or
right,
just for the sake of putting out music,
yep,
but there's not an intention behind it.
No.
And usually that's when we get, like, this microwavable music that people don't live with,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't age well.
It's there for the moment. And which is okay if that's what you want to do. I'm just not that type of artist,
right?
You know, I want to put out things that will stand the test of time, that'll be a blueprint for people to look back to, that will be a soundtrack for this life and the next, you know. So
what was your, like, where did you draw the most inspiration for this body of work?
Musically, Lauryn Hill's Unplugged. Mm. The honesty, the rawness of it.
I love the Unplugged. Her and Jay-Z's got the best two Unplugs ever.
That you ain't never lied, bro. A day in your life. So that was a big inspiration. Probably the biggest. Honestly, that's where I really pulled from the most. During the pandemic, I would drive to New York 6-7 times and just play that album over and over again. Other than that, it was just like things I would read.
Right.
Untamed by Glennon Doyle was a book that I read. James Allen, 21 books. It just really allowed me to give myself permission to be human.
Right.
And that's what fed everything else.
Do you feel like, because I always, when you're brought up, you're always brought up as like one of the elite MCs, period, like regardless mm-hmm. of gender. But since 2017, since 2020, mm-hmm. you know, there has been like a huge, you know, I feel like we used to have these female MC conversations and it's now just turned into like ladies are kind of running hip hop now. In mm-hmm. my opinion, they're, I mean, mm-hmm. all the big hit records are,
yeah, women.
They're only the only women who are making, like, I feel like the women are actually putting effort into quote unquote records.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and I feel like now, like, it's been, I mean, the last time I remember it being like this female dominated, or at least so many options out there, was like when it was Eve, the Brat, yeah. Little Kim, Foxy Brown, like. But it's, I feel like it's even bigger than that now.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Like, do you feel like we're kind of like in the middle of like a special moment when it turns to just females running hip hop?
I do. Running it in this way, I don't think we've seen.
I don't think it's ever happened.
No.
Because even back then, there was Jay-Z, there was Nas, yeah. there was Death Row, there was all
but
that.
At the same time. And two, it was, yeah, this is just different.
It's and everyone's got different. Their own thing. Like, it feels good. And, you know, for the most part, everyone's working together. For the most part.
Yeah, which is exciting. And I think it helps the moment, yeah. right? And it's needed. The woman's voice, her perspective is needed. I love to see in the mainstream a lot more harmony. But it's exciting, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
You obviously got Erykah Badu on the, I heard the Erykah yeah. Badu record on the way over here.
What do you think?
That was amazing.
Yeah, I
Shout
love
out
it
to
too.
Erykah, man.
Oh, come on. She's
out here. She got her own weed strain now too.
Yep, cookies.
Yeah, with
I mean,
cookies.
With cookies.
It's with
it's
Burner,
called
yeah.
That Badu.
And she's got her own perfume that I think
she does. I didn't know about the perfume.
I want to say it's a candle or a
Oh, you talking about the incense?
She's got something that's supposed
Badu
to
pussy?
Smell like her
Badu pussy. I got a box at the house.
How's it smell?
It smells amazing.
Does it smell like water?
It smells amazing.
Good.
I was like, damn.
Was that something that you sent to her, or did you guys actually get in?
How did I get that? She gave it to me as a gift for performing at her birthday bash.
Fire.
Yeah. I have two boxes.
And no. I'm talking about the record.
The record.
No, I'm not talking about
I thought we were still on
sense.
The Badu
no.
pussy. The record. Yeah. I was in Dallas, Texas working with S1. And I did two verses. The second verse was different than what we have now. But at the end, I left the hook open because I knew I wanted a singer. And he was like, yo, who you hear rap? I said, I only hear Badu.
And
like,
you're in Dallas.
I'm in Dallas. So he reached out because I didn't have her contact at the time. And she said yes. And, you know, we continued to work on it for about 8 more months. But it was a beautiful time. We never got in the studio together, but, you know, we text. She FaceTimed me and sing melodies for the hook. She shared lyrics with me. And it was just a beautiful process of creating a record and building a friendship.
Right.
Like, one of the most gifted artists we've ever seen, creative style icon. But her heart is beautiful. Like, amazing.
Who all do you have doing production on the album?
We have S1, who also right. serves as an executive producer. Black Odyssey.
Shout out to Black Odyssey.
They also serve as an executive producer. Major 7 out of Atlanta.
By the way, people who don't know, there's a guy in Black Odyssey, not black.
Yes, Alejandro.
I interviewed.
Well, Rico.
I interviewed them. And I was like, what's it like being the not black guy on Black Odyssey?
Well,
because technically Black Odyssey
is the lead,
but, you know, it's a crew, you know.
We accept him in our delegation.
Yeah.
But they were amazing to work with. Eric G of the Soul Council, soundtrack of the Soul Council, Hit Boy.
Shout out to him.
Let me make sure I'm not forgetting anybody.
No ninth beats.
Not on this one.
Okay. No.
Yeah, we did about two songs. One I had with Mary, but I wanted to work on it more.
Right.
And
Sick Flex, yeah. Mary. Yeah. Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You left the Mary J. Blige record off the album?
We both wanted to work on it more.
That's fucking crazy.
You know, we put that out. We wanted to feel right.
Of course.
Yeah. But I love Mary. Oh.
Man. I feel like anyone who works with Hit-Boy these days ends up doing a whole album with him. Would you? I mean, look.
We talked about it.
I was going to say, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. When Asteroids dropped, we talked about it. I told him I would love to. He said the same. So we'll see how it goes. You know, time, but I would love to.
I just got to thank him for getting Nas in a place.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten six albums. Three Kings.
I can't even count
it. Three Magics, Three Kings Diseases, and then I also think if it weren't for those six albums, we wouldn't be getting this premier Nas album that we're getting.
Mm-mm.
Which is what
fully produced.
All we've wanted for fucking 20 fucking years.
Everything has its time.
I know. When I heard that the song just dropped last Friday, and then at the end, they're like, and the album's on the way. I was like, oh, my God.
Yo, everybody was excited. It's hip-hop is exciting this year.
It is.
The energy feels good.
It does.
Like a different good.
For sure.
You know?
I feel like it's like the most, I feel like last year was kind of like a down year energy-wise for rap.
Yeah.
This year, I feel like, is like, because there was like people questioning, like, I saw Carl post something about like the same people who were saying that hip-hop was dying last year need to make sure that people know it's alive and well and running the charts this year.
Let's talk about it.
100%.
We ain't going nowhere.
I'm curious. You're such a hip-hop head. What are your, like, if you were to go to an island and you could only take, like, three or four albums with you, what are the albums you're taking that are hip-hop, strictly? Yeah.
Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z. To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. Okay. Strictly Hip-Hop. The Score by the Fugees.
Yes.
Ooh, and Illmatic.
Happy 30 years to Illmatic.
Happy 30 years.
Age is like fine wine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great four. I think Reasonable Doubt is Jay-Z's best album. I'll stand by that forever.
I go back and forth between, it's the top three, Blueprint, Black, and Reasonable. Depending on the day, I'll give you.
Those are my three. Those are the three.
And I interchange them like this.
But to me, it's like Reasonable Doubt is like so fucking crazy. Like Friend or Foe, like
in my life. No, that the feeling it.
Oh yeah, feeling it. Fucking
Can I Live?
Shit with Biggie.
The Evils.
Yes, The Evils is crazy with the Snoop sample. Reasonable Doubt's the one for me. But
22 Tools. Oh my God.
It's either Blueprint or Black Album. Is the. You know what song I hated? Hola Jovito. To me, the Black or the Blueprint has one song that I skip. It's
really?
It's Hola Jovito. I just can't do it.
That don't do it for
it's
you.
The Braveheart Party of that album. Do you remember Braveheart Party on Stillmatic?
Oh, yeah.
So Stillmatic was a perfect album, but there was this song called Braveheart Party with Mary J. Blige, and it's one of the worst rap songs ever created. It's so bad that when they reissued the album, they took it off.
I feel like you always give me a moment where I'm like...
No, Nas knows it's terrible. Listen, if you were to go to the store right now and buy like a Stillmatic that's been pressed in the last 15 years, Braveheart Party is not on
it. They took it off.
Do you remember when Jay-Z did the Blueprint 2.1?
Yeah.
Because the Blueprint 2 had some shit on it.
Absolutely.
But it also had some shit on it. So much so that they were like, let's do the Blueprint 2.1 and just put all the good shit on one album. That's what Nas had to do with Braveheart Party. He knows it's a bad song.
I love you so much. every time.
Whenever I interview Nas, I specifically want to bring that up. Like, hey, so who's
Why haven't you? I would love to hear that conversation.
I mean, interviewed him when I was like fucking 19.
Okay.
And I brought him a box of shit to autograph.
Was that one of them?
Yeah.
That's fire. Okay.
Yeah, I brought him like, I was like.
See, I saw that and I was like, oh, he's been through
I just brought him stuff and I was like, hey, dude, like, if you could interview all the, or sign all this shit, it'd be great. If you don't want to, I get it, but this is like the biggest moment of my life.
That's love.
He signed it all. I asked him what happened. Do you know what my main question was? Because I only got to interview for like 10 minutes, but it was like, yo, when's Lost Tapes 2 coming out?
And Lost Tapes was a joint, bro. Durag?
It's probably my third favorite Nas album.
Up there.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Then Lost Tapes 2 came and it was, should have stayed lost. Shout out to Nas. Anyway, Who else is on this album?
Okay, we talked about Erykah Badu. We have Lil Wayne.
Oh.
Yeah, Nico Brim, Alex Isley, Dixon, Baby Tate.
Shout out to Baby Tate.
Man. Amber Navrin. Hold on, let me make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. I think I said, oh, Keznamdi, newer artist from Jamaica.
Okay.
BB, fire. That's it. I got everybody.
How you get with Lil Wayne?
So I've always been a fan since I was 13. During the pandemic, I had been working with Bel Air here and there. But
the
you know they do
company?
Bamboo too.
Yeah, they do his. Yeah.
Yeah, so
what's that dude's name? Brett, the guy,
Brett,
with the
yeah,
beard.
That's yeah, that's Brett. Good folk. But I think Maine or Brett, one of them, told me that Wayne wanted me to do a song for Bamboo at the time. And it never materialized, but I was like, oh, okay, he's tapped in. So when we started doing the record, I knew I wanted to do it with him. I had been talking to Mac for a little bit, so I just hit Mac. I was like, yo, I got this record. I want to see him, Wayne, see if he'll get on it. He connected us. You know, we would text him, play him the record, send him the record. He did it in like a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like fast. Like, so I appreciate his grace and just extending his services, but that was it, you know, and I would tap in every now and again just to check in. Happy Father's Day, but yeah,
that's fire.
Yeah, he's been a godsend. Yeah, he made the business easy. So I'm super
grateful. I feel like we underappreciate Lil Wayne somehow now.
We do. He's one and two, 1A, 1B.
He's one of your one or twos.
Yeah, I mean Jay, but he like right there.
I got him like in around nine.
I mean,
my top 10 is very like. It's like super fucking. I got Ghostface above Lil Wayne. Like I got like a super. Like I always say, like Kendrick's top five all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people put Biggie in their top one or two, off of two albums.
Oh yeah.
You have to put Kendrick in your top five.
Yeah.
Off of his discography, because his discography is flawless.
Albums,
in my opinion.
EPs, Impact,
mixtapes, all of it.
Yeah.
And then, like, one and two is, to me, it's Jay and Nas. And then I could just, like, swap shit around. It just becomes, after, like, one and two are the only two that, like, don't move for me ever. It's Jay-Z, it's Nas.
And then it's however you feel
that
day.
And then it's just however I'm feeling it for the day. You know, Kendrick's up there. Mm-hmm. I say if Drake comes away from this whole thing on top,
mm-hmm,
I finally got to stop hating on Drake. If he can come out. Now, I thought the AI thing was one of the corniest things I've ever seen a rapper do in my entire life.
You did?
I thought it was terrible.
Oh.
Because I'm sure Snoop didn't co-sign that. I'm fucking using Tupac's voice. Come on. Anyway, nonetheless, if he can come out from everyone dissing him, The Weeknd, the biggest artist in the world on Spotify. If you look at the ranking, The Weeknd is number one.
Mm-hmm.
You got The Weeknd dissing you, bro. If you got the 20 verse one, he posted that shit with Kill Bill, and he comes out on top. I hate to say it, but he might be up there, bro. He might be the GOAT.
I mean, the boy can rap. That's what makes this so exciting.
He can rap his ass off, and he's the biggest, probably the biggest rapper ever. Commercially successful.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Commercially successful. Especially for the run.
Yeah.
You know, like Wayne had like that 3-year run that was fucking crazy. Like Eminem had like probably 5 or 6 years where he was like the biggest shit ever.
Mm-hmm.
But Drake's like 2009 to now. Never seen it. With that being said,
he sings too, though. So
he sings too.
That's good.
Yeah.
It helps.
It helps.
It helps.
It does help. Nas ain't fucking singing.
No, he not.
Jay-Z ain't singing, thank God.
I ain't neither.
But I need Drake to give me a rewind or a fucking Meet the Parents, or I need something like that.
I feel you.
We ain't got one of those.
No, we don't have one of those.
But if he comes out on top, to me, Kendrick Lamar is indeed the boogeyman. I think.
Yeah.
I just can't wait, man. Shout out to KDOT. I'm super biased in this whole thing, so.
Likewise.
But it is what it is.
I mean, I know the caliber of human we talking about. So.
When you got nominated for like Hip Hop Album of the Year, that was a big deal. And I kind of feel like that kind of kicked off like a wave of the Grammys, at least semi getting some of the nominees right. Mm-hmm. You know, a few years later, I know Pusha T got nominated and Royce da 5'9" got nominated. Actually, I think it was the next year.
The process was different, right?
That was a year after, right? That was 2018 because mm-hmm. Daytona came out in 2018.
So there was a time when the Grammys were trying to get it right, especially for hip hop. So they created these committees for all genres. And the way the Grammys works is you have to be a member of the voting committee,
right,
which means you have to be nominated, have won, blah, blah, blah. Everybody, no matter what genre you're in, everybody who's in the voting committee gets to vote, right? So a lot of times if you're a country artist and maybe you're not really into hip hop,
you're just going to vote Drake.
Off name recognition, yes, right? So to balance that out, they created these committees of trusted individuals from each genre in that culture. Country had theirs, pop had theirs, R&B, hip hop had its trusted committee. And you would get the top whatever, and you would go through the list, and if you felt like there was somebody that needed to be in there that wasn't represented, you got to go through a process of listening to that record together, going through it and voting it in.
Mm.
Because you were of the community. So that's how you get a Royce da 5'9" nominated. That's how you get a Nipsey nominated.
Alfredo.
Exactly. That was the balance and the checks and balances system to make sure this is not just a popularity contest that hip hop.
That makes sense why. I mean, shout out to my boy Macklemore. I love him. But that would make sense why he won over Kendrick that year in 2012.
Yep. It's just popularity.
Yeah.
Name recognition.
Yeah. Because like this year, I feel like they knocked it out the park with Killer Mike. I'm like, of course Killer Mike had the best rap album of the year. I don't even think there was a fucking discussion.
It wasn't even
close. I didn't even think it was close.
It wasn't even close. It was solid.
And they got it right.
And they got it right.
Yeah.
So that's exciting to see.
100%. No, yeah. I was super stoked to see that. But I wonder, like, when you get a taste of that, mm-hmm. are you like, do you, when you create now, do you create with the Grammys in mind?
I used to, but not anymore.
Mm.
Nothing in mind. No Grammys. No BET Awards, no Billboard, which I've never really been high on anyway,
right.
No platinum plaques.
Right.
This one, I was like, you know, I'm tired of chasing these
accolades.
Yeah, and these measurements. And sometimes some of it is real and sometimes it's not. Like you say, some things are popularity. So,
hey, I'm going to throw you my phone.
Yep.
Put it on the wide shot. I think this is the guy who's coming to power wash outside. Hold on. Just go outside and call him. Put on the white shirt. Yeah. Sorry, this guy's doing this painting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you got
to. So I got to get this fucking wall power washed.
Yeah, you don't want
to
miss that.
Tell him if he could come tonight. He needs to come tonight. So that, because I always wonder, like, you know, like when people, I always feel like when people on the other side of the spectrum, like when people have like certain commercial success or they feel like they have to go in and they have to create like a radio record or like mm-hmm. a hit record, it always mm-hmm. comes off like.
Divorced.
And I feel like that can happen on the other side where you're like, mm-hmm. we got to make this album for the Grammys.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. With this one, it was super intentional. I want to have a connection with people.
Yeah.
I want them to get to know me better. That was my only goal. You know, some people can do that. They do it well.
Right.
Drake does it well.
For sure.
You know, my space and how I create is different.
Yeah.
You know, if it comes, it comes, but it has to come naturally. Like, I don't want to chase it. It's, you know.
Do you... Because somebody like yourself, I feel like is like obviously criminally slept on, underrated, if you will, when we talk about just like the upper echelon of hip hop artists in the game. Is that something that bothers you anymore, being underrated or being slept on?
No.
Did it ever
it
like
did.
Get to you?
Yeah, it did. It did a lot. You know, you compare yourself, you use that as a measure of its success. You're like, what's wrong with me? What am I missing? Where do I fit in? Why aren't I connecting and translating? And now it's just like, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah, it's easy to like look across the way and see what someone else is doing and then let that kind of affect your energy or let that affect your process. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's like, you got to just kind of stay down. Like,
you do
what you do and like people love you for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm content with that. My place is my place.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, it goes this way for me, that's how it goes. I receive it.
How are you, how hip are you to like do you still try to like discover new artists?
All the time. Yeah. As much as I can. You know, when I'm creating, I don't listen to a lot of music, but if I fall into it, I'm definitely tapped in all the time.
Have you heard of this girl Samara Sin?
That name sounds super.
She's been going super viral with her freestyle. She's crazy.
What she look like?
She's like light skinned. She got
curly hair.
She got
yep. She did the Badu flip.
Yeah, she did the Badu freestyle.
She's,
like,
she's dope. She's fire. Super dope. Super dope. Yeah. I want to say I follow her.
She's hard as fuck.
Yeah.
I was
like,
yeah, she's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, that's why I asked you about her because I feel like you would fuck with her.
Yeah. I already. No, I saw it. I was like, oh, she cold.
Are you already even like, so album comes out, you get through the process of working the album.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you take before you even start thinking about getting back in?
Man, everyone is different. The other ones I would take like up 2 months and I'm right back in. I finished this album completely in August. I've probably been in the studio once or twice.
So for you, it's like, because, you know, there's some people who are like, yo, no matter what, I'm recording. I got thousands of songs. For you, yeah. It's like you said, it's about intention. So it's like,
about intention.
You get to the end of that chapter, breathe a little, let's get the album out.
Yeah,
take some time for yourself, get re-inspired.
Yep, that's it. I'm just like, I've told myself, even though if I'm not actively in the studio on the mic recording, writing, I'm still creating.
Right.
The conversations I have, the things I see, like, my brain is all, it never turns off, but I'm just keeping a count and record for when the time comes. It's like, I got the spark now, you know? And, but I'll every day, every now and again, I'll...
We got to get the spark so you and Hit-Boy can do a fucking EP.
Oh, no, we're going to get it. There's a lot I want to do with a lot of people, so...
I think it's you and Hit-Boy. You got to do the Hit-Boy album. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's got his room at Chalice. You just go over there and hang out with him and Big Hit. Big Hit will be doing push-ups in the corner.
Pull up bar on the door.
Shout out to Big Hit, man.
Yeah, I love him.
Anyway, so the album comes out May 17th. What's the name of the album?
Please Don't Cry.
Please Don't Cry. Why that title? Are we going to cry when we listen?
You may.
Okay.
You know, if it touches you. It's really about just allowing yourself to be human. You know, it's ironic, and it's like, please don't cry, but the whole album is like, yo, no, feel.
Be vulnerable.
Be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Cry when you sad, cry when you mad, cry when you happy, cry because shit's so fucking funny, your stomach is in knots. Like, just be, you know? That's what it says.
The 17th. Go support. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Looking forward to hearing this album.
I always gotta come see you. Yeah, I hope you dig it.
She like, hey man, shout out to Rhapsody, man. We like well-cooked meals, as DJ Head says on the West Coast.
Yeah. You heard the full plate.
There it is. Appreciate you for coming through.
Thank you.
Yes. Rap. Boom.
Love you, man.
Fire.
This is great.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.